Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Hey, I sat down recently with Amy Pekacek to dig into her journey as a speaker and some tips and tricks that she's used to build her speaking business in the last few years. She's been super, super successful. Really excited about this episode. Amy was a student here at the Speaker Lab, and now she's speaking at companies all over the U.S., teaching teams about how to embody leadership and better serve their clients. And she has a background in sales and business development, so she's really just been an asset to every company that she works with. During our conversation, we dug into how Amy plans to win in her speaking business, what it looks like for her to scale up so quickly, also some of the obstacles that she's overcome in this journey, and the advice that she would give to new speakers. So if you're thinking about taking the plunge to either start speaking or to level up your current speaking business, we're hoping that Amy's story is going to inspire you, and I'm very confident that it will. All right, friends, let's get right to it. Here's my conversation with Amy Pekacek. Enjoy. Hey friends, it's Grant Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Excited for today's conversation with Amy Pekacek.
That's it.
I got it. Okay, we got it. I had to think it through in my head there. Pekacek. Which it doesn't look like that.
Not at all.
Okay. All right. We'll blame your husband for that one. But hey, super excited that you're here. You have been crushing it in your speaking business. And so we're going to be digging in, talking about that. And then also talking about, I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is how you are starting to build the business so it's less and less dependent on you. And I know that you are involving other people and presenting for you. And so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But to start with, why don't you give us a little bit of context of who you are, and specifically, like, who are you speaking to? What are you speaking about? What does your speaking business looks like? And then we'll take the DeLorean back in time.
Yeah, so I started off as a teacher. So I've been in education my entire career, and I moved into corporate training, sales leadership. And through the process of all of this, I found myself doing a lot of talks for companies and organizations. And I was asked to speak at nonprofits and just speaking at all different types of organizations besides my 9-to-5. And so at some point, you guys actually found me, reach out to me. I went through your VIP program, learned how to make a business out of what I do. And I believe it was in 2022, my husband and I talked about it, made a decision that, hey, this does not make sense for me to continue working a 9-to-5 and to be doing all these speaking gigs on the side. We went into business for ourselves full time. Actually, he still has a corporate America job, but I went into business full time for myself, and it's just really exploded. It's actually taking a different direction or a different path than I thought I would go when I first started doing public speaking. I thought I would do more inspirational keynote type things. But what's happened is I have this corporate training company where we train senior leadership executives, and we also train sales organizations. So
gotcha.
Completely different from anything I thought I would be doing, but I absolutely love it.
That's cool. All right. There's a lot there that I want to unpack and dig into. So first of all, let's go back a little bit more. You said that you were a teacher, or what was kind of the corporate America gig that you had?
So I was a teacher. I taught mainly 8th grade middle school math students, and I did that.
God bless you. That's a tough gig.
Yeah. Loved it to death. But I knew there was something even bigger out there for me. Not that you know, I love the kids. I loved teaching them. But I believe that the Department of Education keeps so many parameters on teachers that they can't really be as effective as some good teachers have the potential to be. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to make a difference in the lives of people. I went to work for a software company and did their corporate training. So I trained I created a training program for the entire organization, both internal employees as well as their customers and their clients. That's where I started speaking at some events, and moved on and worked with a higher ed company, also kind of in the ed tech space, so software. started speaking a lot at colleges and universities, and I would have some of the deans or some of the department heads ask me, hey, Amy, can you come speak to my professors at the beginning of the semester? Or, hey, can you come speak to our students? And that's when I really became passionate about public speaking. In the process of that, I had an amazingly tragic event happened. You know, my husband committed suicide, killed himself. And that's when people started asking me to come speak to their audiences about, I was speaking about living with intention and living life to the fullest. And again, that's how I found you guys and started the process of doing this full time.
Wow. That's crazy. So when you were doing even like the corporate training and you'd get asked from time to time to come in and do some kind of non-corporate training speaking, was that something that was just like even kind of going into it like, wow, I would love to do more of this, but maybe do something a little bit different or maybe share some of my story? Or like how did you see yourself wanting to do more? Or how are you kind of thinking about how speaking might fit in there?
Well, I've known for a long time that I wanted to do public speaking eventually. And so whenever I would speak at, I'd go speak in front of a panel when they were trying to make decisions on materials to use and things like that for my company. But I would always add little pieces of information in there about leadership or about, you know, helping people or about living the life you want to live, making a difference and making an impact. So even though I was selling a product per se, I was also relating it to them and to their lives. And I believe that's why a lot of people started asking me to speak on the side. When I started speaking on the side, Grant, I did not see this being a full-time gig at the time. I just thought I was going to be speaking like at churches or something, right? So I thought I would be speaking at women events, women's conferences and things like that while doing my 9-to-5, maybe on the weekends. So no, I didn't really see it being a full-time gig, even though I saw myself being a speaker. And again, it wasn't until, you know, at some point I had so many people asking me to speak that we had to make a decision, which way am I going to go?
You had mentioned there that you were doing the corporate training, started to get into speaking. You said like for a long time, you always thought you would get into speaking in some capacity. So that's the case with like so many people of, I've done some speaking before, maybe for work, you know, and maybe I've been asked by a friend or something or some word of mouth thing. And I did a gig here, there, and I wanted to do more of it. I just didn't know what to do next. So like what tipped for you? Because for so many people who may be watching or listening are in that same spot where you were a couple years ago of going like, I'd like to do more speaking. I have some experience. I know I'm not the best. I'm not the worst, but there's something there, but it just feels like this long distant pipe dream and, you know, maybe stage of life or where I'm at in my career and I can't make a change and all these excuses that we come up with. Like, what do you think it was that caused you to say like, no, if I'm going to do this, like, let's do this and let's start to take it seriously and put some action to it. Like, what was there like a specific event or a time or a moment or like something that changed for you?
It was during, it was finding your program. I mean, that's just a matter of fact. And I'm not just saying that because you and I are sitting here speaking, but it was learning the process of how to make a business out of what I do, out of a service that I offer. It's crazy that I have been able to do this with other companies for my entire career. I can walk into with them and consult with them on how to make different things better, how to make sales methodologies better, how to, you know, just make themselves more profitable, how to teach sales methodologies. But to do it for myself and my business, I had no idea how to do that. So finding a recipe and seeing that, hey, this is something I could make a career out of, not just on the side, not just speaking on the weekends or at night, or taking a day off of work here or there and speaking, but I could literally make a business out of this. When the recipe was laid out in front of me, I was like, well, I can follow this recipe. I can do this. And so I did. And I started reaching out to some of my contacts. In the beginning, I gave a lot of talks away for free, which I'm okay with. I still would speak for free if I didn't have to earn a living, right? And run a company. Yeah. But, and so it was like, if I follow this recipe, I can't help but to be successful. And this is what I want to do. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to make a difference in their lives. And I think I could have a much bigger impact by going in business for myself than working with one specific company.
You mentioned that that you, especially early on, you did a lot of free gigs. And so free gigs, I think, can be very, very valuable. One of the things we talk a lot about on the podcast and with students is that it's okay to do a free gig, but just know why you're doing it. Don't just do it out of the goodness of your heart. Right. So yeah, especially early on when you are getting a lot of inquiries and people have limited to no budget and you have a lot of chances to do free gigs, you mentioned like, I also have to like make a living. So how are you like, what was your methodology or criteria for determining whether or not you were going to take on a free gig?
It's still hard to turn them down. I still get approached. In fact, I'm doing two for free this year already on the books. Complimentary, you know, I don't really like to use the word free, but it's a part of giving back. So the criteria for that is the organization, the specific organization. There's one that's a friend of mine is the president of a chamber of commerce in Longview, Texas. And so I'm speaking at a 40 under 40 event for her. So that's a part of giving back to my community. I live in the East Texas area between Tyler and Longview, Texas. So that's a part of me giving back to the young people in my community. But it also gets my name out to the companies there who might need somebody to come in and help them. So the criteria for me is it has to be something that I believe in, a way for me to give back, but also an opportunity to further my company, right?
Right. You had also mentioned there that when you started booking some gigs, like things were starting to go well and you anticipated coming, kind of going into it, that it was going to be more about inspiration and kind of, here's my personal story, here's my personal message. And like in your case, like there is some, you know, significant like life experience that you've had there and some significant moment that's taken place. But for a lot of people who may be watching, listening, they may not have that, but they're interested in just kind of the motivational, inspirational type of speaker. And, you know, here's something that I want to share with audiences and here's how I think this would be helpful. And I think a lot of times for people who are newer to speaking, they just assume like that's kind of the only drug in town. It's the only option. It's just, you know, that you are a that you're a motivational, inspirational, you know, we think of like the stereotypical Matt Foley SNL sketch of that's what a speaker is. What was the shift for you in realizing like, actually, there's a lot more opportunities that exist that go beyond just a motivational, inspirational talk, although that's valuable in the marketplace. But what, how did you start to realize like, actually, all my corporate training experience could actually be really, really valuable. And maybe that would be a better route to take. Like, what was that process like for you?
That was absolutely, you just kind of went through my whole thought process that went through my own mind at the time. I believe that I still make a difference in people's lives without giving a keynote inspirational type speech. I do these 3-day workshops for companies and my expertise is in sales and leadership. So I have a lot of knowledge there. What I do is I take all that information, that knowledge, and I present it to people in a way that they can make their lives better and their careers better. They can grow their team. They can make an impact. So a lot of my training is not your typical, it's not your typical corporate America workshop work session. It's more, I'm going to give them some tools that will make a huge difference in their lives, both personally and professionally, that they can walk out of the door and implement immediately. And I get feedback from people all the time about how it's changed their marriages, how it changes their relationships with their children, their parents, their spouses. So what we know is when you have this whole healthy person who is healthy at home, they can come and they can be a better version of themselves at work and be better for the organization, be happier in their careers. The retention's better, the turnover's less, people make a bigger impact and help. But for me, that whole process was, you know, going out and speaking for these, you know, organizations and stuff and doing motivational talks, even though I completely believe in it, I would say that my expertise, I'm not the expert in that area, but I am an expert and I'm completely interested in things like human behavior, neuroscience, psychology. I've been reading all of that information, books, listening to podcasts, following thought leaders for years. And so I know that information very, very well. I also have developed so many different sales methodology programs for different companies that I've taught a ton of different sales methodologies and sales processes. So I bring that information together and it just makes sense, right? I mean, so I thought I was going to be out there inspiring people at a keynote or something, but what I have found is I'm still able to inspire and motivate people, but do it in a way that they never would have probably bought a ticket to come hear me talk. Their company paid for me to come in and speak to them. And so it's making an impact on their life in a different way.
So it sounds like you're able to kind of accomplish both things. I wanted to just be an inspirational speaker, but actually here's where my experience is in corporate training. And now I'm actually able to kind of do both. If I'm able to go deep in the weeds with people over the course of a couple of days, then naturally there's going to be some, you know, probably some of the human elements of your own story and some of the inspirational side of a message that you would want to share can come out in that. So is that something that, again, it sounds like it kind of more organically you kind of figured out? Like, is this something that I think a lot of times speakers struggle, especially early on, of going like, when we talk about who you speak to, what problem you solve, it's important to like narrow that down and not try to be, you know, I'm an inspirational speaker for humans and for everybody, and I want to speak to all people everywhere. And so you really want to narrow that down. But some of it is, it's hard to figure out until you're actually in it. And yeah, it becomes a thing of just kind of like, we talk about like, it's easier to steer a car in motion than it is to steer a car in park. Like, when you get the ball rolling, when you get the car moving, then we can kind of figure out some stuff. So did that kind of, is that how it played out for you? It's just more kind of an organic of, I'm just going to try this and see what works. And then actually some people were asking this, and I started to kind of connect some dots in my mind about what it would look like to incorporate some of my corporate training experience, or like, how did that kind of evolve?
Yeah, it absolutely. That's how it happened. I came into this process thinking I was going to be an inspirational speaker. You said a lot of people think that's all there is to it. So that's absolutely what I was intending to do. But I have so many connections with companies and professionals over the years that I was asked to come speak to their sales team or come speak to their leadership team, or we are rewarding this group of high performers, can you come speak to them? And so I saw that I had to reach out, do a lot of the heavy work to reach out to people to get like a keynote talk and to go speak at an organization or a conference or something. But people were coming to me asking me to speak to their teams. And I thought, well, you know, if people trust me in the realm of corporate American leadership and business development and sales and things like that, then, you know, I'm a firm believer of people seeing you sometimes what you don't see in yourself. And so mm-hmm. if people are seeing me as an expert in these areas, and look, Grant, I had been told for years I should be like a coach or something like that. And you take these two pieces together, the inspirational speaker and some of that coaching stuff. And when you embed yourself in an organization, you're kind of able to do both of that in a workshop, because you get to know people and you listen to what they say. And of course, my workshops are very engaging. People are speaking up. They're adding their thoughts. We're talking. They're contributing to the conversation. I believe that having them come up with answers for themselves, which is kind of the coaching world, is more empowering and more effective than me giving them all the answers. So I challenge them and push them. And looking back, you know, all the people who told me this is what you're really good at, I don't know why I couldn't see it when I first started, but I didn't. Maybe I just thought it was glamorous to be an inspirational speaker. Maybe that's what I was kind of dreamy-eyed thinking, that I wanted to be on stage. And I have before been on stage in front of, you know, hundreds or thousands or whatever. But for me, when I walk off that stage, it's, personally for me, the intrinsic reward of dealing with people, working with them for 2 or 3 days, and truly being able to see firsthand the shift in their thinking and their behaviors, and I get to see firsthand their transformation. That's one of the most rewarding things that in the world to me, and that's why, you know, I said I could do this for free if it wasn't for a business I had to run. I love what
this is. This is something we've talked a little bit about on the show, about the differences between keynotes and workshops. You know, keynotes are going to be much more of a shorter, compact, you know, 45 minute, an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And it's just kind of one and done. And the upside of it is, you know, you give your presentation and that's kind of the end of it. Collect your check and off you go. Workshop is going to be, you know, you're going to typically have longer, maybe a half day or full day, maybe a couple of days. And so you can go a lot deeper with a smaller group of people. And so there's, you know, it's a lot more work, but also you can arguably make a lot more impact with an audience. And so again, pros and cons with both. It sounded like for you, the preference was workshops. Can you talk a little bit more about why workshops and what it is that appeals to you about those, not just from like your own personal preference, but just even from like a business standpoint? I think one thing that not a lot of people may recognize and realize is that oftentimes we see keynotes as kind of the glamorous thing, but oftentimes workshops can actually be more lucrative just from a purely financial business standpoint than what a keynote can be. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So how I set them up and what I like about them?
Yeah.
So I start off with a very foundational topics. And I will tell people in the beginning, the first day, you're probably not going to understand why we're talking about some of these things. It doesn't make sense, especially if I'm dealing with, say, a sales team, sales organizations. It doesn't make sense while we're doing some of these foundations. But what I do is I build that foundation, and a lot of the foundation is going to be around communication, personalities, psychology, dealing with different personalities, and just kind of the people skills and goals and dreams and things that people want to accomplish out of life. I ask them to tell me their definition of success. Like, what does success mean to you? Because success means something very different to different people. And our definition of success evolves throughout our lifetime. One of the things I've noticed is that bar none, every single person that I've ever asked that, and I've asked it to thousands by this point in my career, at the end of the day, when you boil off all the fat and you get down to the bare bones minimum, everybody wants to make an impact. They want to help. They want their lives to be significant and make a difference. And so I kind of start them off there. And then we talk about how to connect with other people and have empathy. And we do the emotional intelligence. And I'd work with a lot of blue collar companies and organizations, some white collar too, but a lot of blue collar teams. And one of the things I love about them is they're hungry for this stuff. A lot of people, when they have degrees and advanced degrees and they've, you know, gone through college, they have graduates or doctorate degrees, they're highly intelligent, and they are typically not as open to a lot of this social skills or interpersonal communications and things like that, that you see in these blue collar individuals, and they're just hungry for it and they soak it up and they start asking questions. And one of the reasons I like to do the 3-day workshop is because it's a way that there's so much information thrown to them in the first day. We go to a group dinner at night, so they're getting to talk about it and decompress and process the information they learned on day one, so we can come back on day two and take it to the next level, take it a step further. And then they get a lot of information and they start actually implementing the information through projects and things that they work on in the workshops themselves, so they can implement some of the things that we're learning. And then again, another day two, they're able to process that information, connect with their colleagues. And on day three, Grant, we will tell them, sometimes they've never met each other before these workshops, and we will tell them at the beginning, you guys are going to be best friends by the end, believe it or not. And you get a lot of laughs. Huh, you're right. You know, I don't know these people from Adam. But by day three, they are, and they're exchanging phone numbers. And I hear stories all the time of, yeah, we're still on this group thread. And one group in particular, there's one of the things I do called an input assessment, and I believe in facing people with their truth. And I do it in a way that's not confrontational or not going to harm them. But my input assessment is where they say, okay, how many hours a day do I spend my words doing non-enriching or enriching activities? So that's watching TV, the news, books, radio, podcasts. How many hours a day in a typical day are you doing enriching versus non-enriching activities? And they do those calculations, divide it by 7 for a week, divide it by 52 for a year, and they get a scorecard of how many hours they're doing things that take them towards their goals and dreams and how many things they're doing that takes them away from their goals and dreams. And that's one of the very eye-opening activities that we do, where they can say, wow, I had one guy tell me one time, I'm spending 500 hours a year listening to talk radio, sports talk radio, and I don't even care that much about sports. And so now I'm able to take those hours and be intentional with them and read, watch, or listen to things that are more in line where I want to go with my life. Those are the kind of tools that I give them in the workshops, and why I say I see a huge transformation. And on that day three, they come back and they're completely different people already. It's very rewarding.
What does the sales process look like for you for selling workshops, especially into corporations where, you know, some of these corporations that you've worked with are big, big organizations. And so it can be a little bit hard to know, like, who do I talk to and how do I reach out and what is that process like? Because if you're talking with, let's say, an event planner who's planning a conference or an event specifically around a keynote, like, it's clear, like, the event's happening on this date and here's what we're looking for. And it's very, like, cut and dry. Whereas a workshop, there's not necessarily, like, for most companies and corporations, there's not necessarily like, hey, we have to schedule it by this date. Here's exactly what we're looking for. It's just kind of like, hey, here's this problem that exists in the background, and you're providing a solution to that. And they're trying to determine if the solution is valuable enough that they would hire you and bring you in. So what does that process look like? You know, how are you reaching out? Kind of talk us through. If I had an idea for a workshop and I wanted to sell it, what do I do?
Well, again, it's going to go back to some of those events that I did where they were free, basically, the complimentary speaking event. So I've given them to companies and said, I'll come in for a day or a day and a half and work with your leadership team. And if you don't find value, great. But if you do find value, let's talk about how we can bring this to the larger organization. So that's how I've gotten the larger clients that I have. And then it's just word of mouth. I mean, people literally take my business cards. I have random people call me. I am not in a space right now where I can personally go out and bring in any more business into the company that we have. That's one of the reasons I'm working with a consulting firm I told you about to bring on a salesperson. I have a bench of speakers. So bringing in a salesperson full time who can go out and sell this to other organizations. We do sometimes like these little tastes where different decision makers from different companies come and I do an abbreviated form of my program so they can see it and ask questions and have conversations around it to take it back to their organizations. But, you know, at this point, it's bringing in salespeople. We have a bunch of speakers. We have a bunch of coaches that these companies can work with. And so we're still figuring out all the details of how to make it beyond what it is now. At this point, I can't go out and sell anymore because my personal schedule is packed.
How do you think about that where you have more opportunities than what you even have capacity for? And so you're kind of at this crossroads of you could do one of a few things. You know, you could say, well, maybe I'm just going to write a book or some type of curriculum that an organization can implement without me. You know, maybe they're just buying it, but I don't necessarily have to be there. Maybe I can keep doing the workshops that I want to do, but I could be a bit more picky. I can just raise my rates significantly. Or, you know, I can, like in what sounds like with what you're doing is start to hire some other speakers, trainers, workshop presenters that can present my content. I train them on that. And that way, when an organization reaches out to you, it's not necessarily they're hiring Amy, they're kind of hiring a program and a system and a concept. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be you. It could be right. Someone else that you have trained to present the material. So how have you thought about that in terms of like expanding the business and all the different like paths that you could take and all of them could work, but why have you kind of landed on bringing in some kind of a train the trainer type of model and bringing in other people that could present?
There are so many options. You're right. There's so many different directions it could go. It could go to like web training, web style training, or I mean, there's just so many different things. And I had to sit down and say, yes, I can go in 100 directions. I'm not going to be effective in 100 directions. So let's narrow down our focus to what we're doing. And so what we are doing is live in-person workshops. There's some virtual meetings that can happen after the live in-person workshops, but I have found these live in-person workshops where you really can connect and engage with people to be the most effective. So we at one point talked about working with a company to come in and film me and doing like an online program similar to what you have and what you have at the Speaker Lab, which, hey, that's what set me off in my career. But at this point, that's not the direction. We had to pick a direction. And after lots of conversations and consulting with a company, this was what we decided to focus on. So it wasn't an easy decision because I'm the type of person who wants to say yes to everything. But what I found in 2023, I was almost near the point of burnout and about ready to just throw everything up in the air and say, forget it all, because I was close to burnout. So by making a decision of, okay, we've got to have a very narrow focus, it's taken a lot of stress off of me to have to consider all these different possibilities and all these different options and just move ahead in one direction. So it's probably the best decision I've made for my company and my career so far.
When you are bringing on other speakers and presenters to share your content and your material, like you lose some of the control of that. And you know, I am trusting someone else with my baby. And so, how have you thought about that? And anything that you're thinking about in terms of whenever you're hiring or you're talking with other speakers, and you're going like, my reputation's on the line, you know, and so I want to make sure that they are representing me and my company well. How do you think about that?
It's scary. Yeah, it's scary. There's a lot of fear around that, right? I mean, you don't want to take the information that, you know, that I've put together, that I've compiled, and have somebody go out and either not do it justice or do harm to clients or to my company, or like you said, to my name itself. So it's trust. So I have to, what I know is that I'm not one of those people who keeps a tight lid on all of my information. Like if somebody comes to one of my workshops and they hear something and they take it out and then they speak it to another group, I'm good with that. I'm about, let's help as many people as we can. But when it comes to having somebody and putting my name and my company's name on it, that's a little different. It is a little scary. And so I developed a process for training, and it looks something like they attend my events, right? At least one full attending before they ever speak. And then I have to be very selective with the people who is on that bench of trainers, knowing that they're already public speakers themselves, and they have areas of expertise very similar to what I do, the leadership and business development. But when they're doing our specific program, they have to watch me at least once, and then we talk about it. The second time, generally, I will give them a piece or two to do of the program itself. I'm there to rescue them if anything goes awry, hasn't yet. So they do a piece. And then, you know, we go through this process that by the end of the process, they're free to go off and do the program on their own. That is when they're using my company's name. Now, there's some companies that I've just said, hey, you know, Grant Baldwin's a great speaker. I don't have the capacity to do it right now. Let me give you Grant's name and number and call him, and you guys have a conversation and see if he's a good fit. Then it's not putting my name or my company name on it. So that's what I've been doing in the past. Now we're at the point where I don't want to give them all away anymore, right? So I want to be able to help them through my company, but keeping it intact. It is scary, but there has to be a process in place to make sure that they get trained and that I look at them and say, yeah, they can put their own spin on it, their own spice, their own life stories, their own examples, but they're still getting the point across and they're still making an impact.
That's really cool. The Amy, it's super impressive, you know, what you've accomplished in even just a short few years here. And so there's, again, a lot of people who are watching, listening. Sounds like you may have been this person a few years ago, maybe listening to the podcast and going like, dang, I think I can do this. I just need someone to just freaking show me what to do, you know? And so again, for those people who are where you were a couple of years ago, what advice would you give to them to help them get over that hurdle that they can actually follow through, that they can do this, they can make their dream a reality in terms of building a business as a speaker?
Well, they should definitely go through your program, no doubt. I mean, no doubt at all. I've talked to different people who have been considering going through the Speaker Lab, the different programs. And one of the things I tell them is, after I went through the Speaker Lab and you look back at your notes and you look back at the information, it's like, well, dang, this was a lot of common sense, right? But it wasn't in a recipe, and it would have taken me years to figure out the things that I was able to learn in a relatively quickly short amount of time. So all of the questions of how do I do this, you know, how do I reach out to people, how do I charge, how do I keep a pipeline of business coming in, how do I make a talk that's effective, how do I narrow my niche, like all those questions, it's laid out in front of you and you just kind of follow the recipe. So I could have done it, but it would have taken years and years and years, and I would probably still be at my 9-to-5 now, not making the impact I am, but I chose to go through the Speaker Lab. It's like a shortcut. You do have to do the work, but it is a shortcut to success, in my opinion. And so one of the things I tell people is, after I went through the program, I decided to go Google some of this stuff to see if I could find this information on Google if I wanted to piece it together. And granted, it's not out there. You can't, like all of the information that I was provided when I went through the Speaker Lab and working with you and Eric Ream, the information is not on Google. So you can't, you know, people sometimes think, well, I can just Google it and figure it out. It's maybe after years. Yeah. But you're not going to do it in a matter of months.
Right.
So I would to take
it. I would totally agree that there's a lot of information out there on even on this podcast, right? So, I mean, we're coming up on 500 episodes. You know, that's hundreds and hundreds of hours of free content. And so, you know, we absolutely have had people who will go through, they'll listen to every single episode and kind of piece together and kind of figure out what that roadmap looks like and go implement. And I tell people, like, by all means, like, you don't have to join anything that we have. Like, there's a lot of free resources that we offer. But I think you're right that it does kind of, our programs kind of consolidate and say, hey, no, here's step one, step two, step three. And, you know, here's the things that need to be done sequentially. Here's the things where you can kind of bounce around and choose your own adventure. But again, one of the things you also touched on there is ultimately comes down to you doing the work. Like, we can show you what to do. We can give you all the tools and resources that you need. But, you know, it's kind of like if you want to get in shape and you go to the gym, like, you're your trainer, your instructor, whoever, like they can't make you get out of bed. They can't make you go to the gym. They can't make you lift heavy things or choose kale instead of pizza. You have to do the hard work. And so, Amy, huge, huge props and kudos to you because you have done the work and the results speak for themselves. So congratulations. Super proud of you. If people want to find out more about you, what you're up to and check out your work online, where can we go?
Alpstra.com, so www.alpstra.com. I also have a pretty large following on Twitter, so Kostchek_Amy on Twitter. But those are probably the best two places to go.
Awesome. Amy, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Grant. Have a great day.
Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. And so if that's you, I would encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/apply. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/apply. I want you to book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.